Okay, ladies, so we're going to talk about France. France is the most amazing place. If you want a transformational journey, France is the place to go. Of the 18 different tours I do to various places in the world, I don't think any of them are as transforming as France spiritually. All sacred sites have their own matrix and they bring forward amazing things, but none of them have the energy of, like, in your face, because for the first couple of days you have Mary Magdalene and she takes no prisoners. She is just going to be there, and the energy is coming in because the first day you go and you have to walk up to the grotto and you experience this walk that the kings and queens and everybody have been doing for thousands of years, and you walk through this ancient wood grove. Well, it's kind of a little forest, and all the trees there are at least 1,000 years old.
Wow.
And the mountain itself is sacred to Isis, and it has one of the largest aqueducts of water in France underneath it. So, and all the water on it is a very healing. And so this mountain was sacred to Isis long before Mary Magdalene. And it's just an amazing place. And down at the bottom, at the where the old hostel used to be, which is now a Dominican nunnery. Dominicans are very lovely people, as long as
Yeah,
you just
they're beautiful.
give them a wide berth. And there's a beautiful chapel down there with some amazing frescoes of Mary Magdalene and the Grail story. And it is an amazing, and that's where people go the first day when they come. We just visit the chapel and all these frescoes and that whole area, because it is amazingly powerful, all the different things that happened with people after they visit those frescoes and that in the chapel. I used to do it all in one day, but it was too much for people, so I split it into 2 days. And so, because
That's a
it
good
was.
idea, Finbar, to do it, yes, for the 2 days, because that's a very, very powerful, a very powerful beginning, especially being in the beginning of the tour, also to have that energy on the very first days. It's, yeah, I think that's great just to spread it out a
Well,
little bit.
and as well, that night she comes and works with everybody. So there is a great initiation that takes place the first night. And it was just too much for people when they went up to the grotto, and they did this at the same time. So that's why we leave Nice at noon and get up there. We're up there about 1:30, and then we go have a little snack and then go visit. And then we go to our hotel where we have our initial meeting, and we get to really know one another and sit and visit and have a nice dinner. And then the following morning we get back up to Saint-Baume again and we visit the grotto. And it takes about 45 minutes to walk up there. But it is an amazing experience. We stop on the way up. There's a sacred well, and we stop at this source on the way up. And people drink some water. They go in there. They experience the waters. And then we continue on up to the grotto. And the grotto itself is like it's very large. It's an amazingly large grotto. And within the grotto, it's on two levels. And what I call down in the crypt part of the grotto, there's a beautiful statue of Mary Magdalene down there. And there's a little, it's in a corner. And it's like you go into this little vortex and you experience all the energies of Mary Magdalene, and people have their own experiences with Mary Magdalene. Then there is another big source of the water, over to the left, which is or to the right, where people stand as well, and they have. And then there's another doorway down at the back that the Dominican priests used to get back into their little alcove
quarters.
Or whatever,
yeah.
whatever
yeah,
they
alcove.
Have, whatever they have in there. But they have a rope across it, so we have to climb over the rope. And, you know, they keep roping off more and more. This is one of the amazing things over the last couple of years. More and more things are being roped off in the churches and the cathedrals and in all sorts of things. It's like, you know, and they keep telling you, oh, this is sacred to the priests and all of that, you know. And you look at
really?
Them.
Really?
Yeah.
That's discouraging to hear.
Yeah, and it's happening at Rocca Maggiore. It's happening at Lourdes. They now make you wear certain. If they feel that you're not dressed appropriately, and somebody is going to make that determination, if you don't have your arms covered, they'll give you something to put on you. And all of this thing is just all. It's only all started happening in the last 3 years or so. And, you know, it's like the way I look at it, I just look at them and smile and, you know, and because it's the last hurrah and they're in this total fear mode.
And, yes, and exactly. It's all by fear.
It's focusing
on what shouldn't, to me, what should not be focused. What's really not the, you know, what is the, it's for everyone to have their own experience and to be there. And why make people feel uncomfortable, unwelcome, locked out?
But it's
out
not so much the priests. Mm-hmm. It's not so much the priests that are doing it. It's the sarcastic.
No, no.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
no,
it's
no,
the
it's
lay
not...
people that they have in charge of the churches.
Exactly.
And
as my mother always says, drunk with the power.
Drunk with the
little
power.
Little people drunk with the power.
Yeah. Well, one guy told me this year that I could no longer pray standing up in front of the altar. I had to sit down. I was too disruptive. Praying in front of the altar, standing up. And so, you get, but then and then they follow you around. Do you think they're going to steal something or something? I don't know what happens to them, but, you know, that happens from time to time. So I don't take any notes. I just go do my own thing. And they get a little upset at times, so you just ignore them. And
right.
So at the grotto in St. Baum, they have part of it. They've always, in the 12 years I've been going there, they've had it roped off. But I just climb over the rope and go back up. And I got caught up there once time, and they told me that was solely reserved for the priest. But it's a sacred place where Mary Magdalene used to do some special initiations. So I take people up there one at a time.
Beautiful.
I tell them then if they hear me and if they hear me, a priest or anything, stay there. Don't leave there until I come and get you.
Don't leave until I come back for you. Type
okay,
thing, right?
Leave until I
that
come back.
That sounds like an adventure, Finbar.
Yeah. And then at the other side of it, there's a beautiful sculpture of Mary Magdalene being lifted up by the angels. And to the left of that sculpture, there's a relic of Mary Magdalene. And there's also another water source where she did all her water initiations. So it is an amazingly powerful place, and people have all their own experiences, and everybody will have an experience with Mary Magdalene before they leave that cave. And so it is, you know, they have their own kind of mystical. She will talk to everybody. That there is no doubt about that. And it is a very beautiful experience. And then in the afternoon at about 4 o'clock we leave and we go to Arles, where we overnight in Arles. And then we stay in Arles for 2 nights. And then the following morning we get up and we go to St. Trophimus Church. And this is an amazing Templar church. It's one of the churches in Arles that is very mystical. It's a lot to do with the Knights Templars. You will find a lot of Templar stuff in there, a lot of Templar graves. There's a lot of symbology. The whole thing about France is everything in France is symbolic. And there is, we hit everything. You'll see all the different things that the normal person walking by will not pay any attention to. But when we look at it, we read the symbology and see something totally different that was put there to, you know, 1600 years ago. And it's totally and absolutely forgotten today. And, of course, all of these were built on ancient Druid sites. They were all built on ley lines. So they all have amazing power, all of these churches. And then, of course, after that, we go up and see the Church of Mary Magdalene. And there's also a Templar Commandery that you can see. We go to that if we have time, but it's not on the tour, but you'll definitely see it in the distance. And then in the afternoon, we go down to St. Maurice de la Mer, where Mary Magdalene came ashore, and of course, where Saint Sarah is housed in the crypt there. Again, a beautiful experience. St. Maurice de la Mer is just a magical place. The basilica again was built by the Templars. There is a well inside, and it is built like a huge fortress. All the windows are way up the top, and it's like it's just brick. It's this huge brick building, and there it's on amazing ley lines. There is a place by the well. People have all sorts of experiences at the well. One day I was in there myself, possibly 5-6 years ago, and I sat down by the well and I put my hand over the water, and the next thing I'm watching this whole movie about abandonment. I didn't know I had any abandonment issues in my life. I was totally oblivious of the fact that I might have abandonment issues, but I had, and it showed me all of the issues in my life of each time I felt abandoned. And I had, you know, I was looking at this.
And you weren't aware of it.
I wasn't aware of it at all.
It was the healing power of the water that brought
it. It was the healing
power
of the water that brought it. So people had wonderful experiences at this water. And then off to the right, there's an area where you sit underneath a window and you're in a ley line, and people have beautiful meditations there. Across the way from that, you have Mary Jacobi and Mary Salome. And if you stand in the center by Mary Jacobi and Mary Salome, people have experiences there as well. And then if you walk up to the high altar at the back, here again, you walk your ley line. I'll show you all the different places to walk, all the vortexes that open up for you. And each person has their own experience. And so we're at St. Maurice de la Mer. And so people have all afternoon. We go to the, by the way, we get a picnic lunch and we go down to the sea. And the people go in and swim or whatever. Or they just sit on the beach. And they experience the beauty of the Mediterranean, which is usually kind of cold.
Yeah, which is nice. Yes, yes, it is, especially that time of year.
Yeah, even in September it's cold.
Probably all through the year I would think it would be,
Yeah, it's to me it's always cold anyway.
You have to go further south, right? You have to go further south for it to be warm.
Yeah, to Nice and places like that. But people love it. They go in and they swim, and we hang around there for about 2 hours, and then we come back and we do all the beautiful things with St. Sarah and the Basilica, and then people have a couple of hours to go shop, do whatever it is. At 7 o'clock we will go have dinner. And after dinner, we will go back to Arles. So we get back to Arles about 9:30, 10 o'clock. And the following morning, we depart for Carcassonne. Carcassonne, again, is just an amazing ancient city, sacred to the Druids, the Phoenicians. And, of course, we're now moving from Mary Magdalene energy to Cathar energy, but we're also intertwined with Mary Magdalene energy. So now we're moving into some Cathar energy, and then there is an amazing church in Carcassonne. And there you have Saint Anne, you have Mary Magdalene, you have Saint Roch, you have all the different Anne people, and there is a section there, a little side altar with Jesus on it, where people have amazing experiences. You have another side altar with Mother Mary on it, where, again, people that are very connected to the Divine Mother or something will get messages, will have an experience there. And then, you know, you have St. Anne and you have St. Roch. You have the beard of the God the Father passing the energy through his beard down into the head of Jesus. And it's like he's opening up his crown chakra for this beard. It's all
amazing.
That's
beautiful. That's one of my favorite spots.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful spot there. Yeah,
yeah.
Beautiful area.
Yeah. And so it is just an amazing place. And so we overnight then in Carcassonne, and we eat in the old walled city. We have dinner in there. And then the following morning we go to Minerve, which was the seat of the Cathar burnings and the feast day of Mary Magdalene in 1210, and where 140 Cathars were burned. And here again, you don't feel any, you feel beauty and peace and everything, but this is an amazing village, and it has a museum in it, ancient Cathar Museum. We go into the ancient church of St. Stephen there, which has an amazing altar stone on it. And so we have a nice lunch there, and then we go down to where the site of the Cathars. And you feel a lot of joy down there, because these were people in perfect peace. When they walked into that fire, they were at perfect peace with themselves, with the world, and with God. And so you get the odd person that feels, but I think that's a fear. A lot of time it's fear, because people think that, well, if these people walked into the fire, they have to have... you know, there has to be fear.
And right. They have judgment about what the experience
they have judgment
is like for
about
them.
What they,
yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah.
So that is, but, you know, that's their experience, so we can't take it away from it. But it is a very mystical and magical place. And then after that, we go to a tiny little village, which is called the Snail Village. It's an artist colony. It's called Aigne, A-I-G-N-E. And there's in the church there, there is a tiny little black Madonna there, which the church have painted white. A lot of the black Madonnas, they put gave them white faces, because they didn't think that anybody with a black face could be that special energy. So there's one, the artist there that I know very well, and she has a key to the back door of the church. And because the caretaker of the church is a very pernickety lady. And so I stay away from her as much as I can. And then so this lady lets me in the back door. So that's and she's a beautiful artist. And she does many beautiful things, many beautiful paintings and everything. So we look at all her work. People buy some of her work, and she has all sorts of different things there. But it is a lovely experience in the village. And then from there, we move on over towards Rennes-le-Château to a town called Ailette-les-Bains. And here we stay for the next 3 nights. And it is in a place that used to be a bishop's palace. Very mystical, magical place, and it is a hotel, but you know, it still has all the remnants and the energy and everything else of the ancient times when it was a bishop's palace. And but they have very beautiful food and everything there. It's basically the only place to stay around there. And but they do a wonderful job of taking well care of us. And they're just down the street from the Angel Sanctuary, which is an amazing place where a woman from Ireland who was an Irish Olympic athlete was injured in training and became paralyzed. and a being appeared to her in the bed. And when she was paralyzed in bed, told her, start painting angels. And she started painting angels. And after she started painting the angels, she got out of bed and she was perfect. And so she has 36 angels that she has painted. The originals are there. And you meditate with these angels. And then if you want to buy a deck of angel cards or anything like that, there you can. But you can walk in and out of there. It's only a 3-minute walk from the hotel. As often as you want to go meditate there, you can go meditate there. It's amazing. And there's one angel there called the Angel of Exploration. And the painting is changing. And nobody is touching it. And
the painting is always changing. That's very magical.
That's
wonderful. Yeah. It's amazing, right?
Yeah. And then when you
love angels. I'm an angel practitioner, so that's heaven for me. All those angels, all that angelic energy.
Yeah. So when you sit in front of this angel to meditate, you have all sorts of experiences. It's just like magical experiences that happen in front of these angels. And then, of course, we have, from there, we go to Rinne Le Chateau, and we have everything to do with Mary Magdalene at Rinne Le Chateau and the church there. And we have we go to Rinne Le Bain, and there is the goddess chair there, the ancient goddess chair, and the source, a beautiful healing well. And then from there, we also go to Lemoux. And in Lemoux, there is an amazing Black Madonna, and there's a healing well there. And this is a very ancient church, and most of the ancient churches and temples have wells in them. And all these healing waters and everything that happened, and the many experiences that people have. And of course, we do healings. We have lots of wonderful talks. We do ceremonies. We do, you know, all of these things happen as we go along. Some days we don't head out until maybe 11 o'clock or 10:30 because we have a gathering in the morning. We don't start any morning before 9:30. Usually 9:30 start. And we have dinner. Dinner is usually at 7:30 because that's the time most of the restaurants and everything open in France.
And right, so it's a little later than here.
It's
in
a little
States.
Later.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people are usually by about 10 o'clock, they're ready to go to bed. And so in the mornings, we have our little chat after breakfast. And so then we go when during the day and depending on where we're visiting, and depending on what spirit says, is what sort of ceremony we're going to do or initiation. We can do anything from water initiations to vibration opening, vibrational doorways within each person, you know. And then people have all their experiences, of course, up at Rinne Le Chateau, and we will show you. If you believe it, there is a whole belief system there. I'll show you a statue of a 70-year-old Jesus. And there is a whole experience in there where you will see about the lineage of Jesus and Mary Magdalene. And you will see some things in there that will tell you that Jesus did not die on the cross. He just went into a trance. And like all his previous four initiations, this was his fifth initiation, that in the previous initiations, he had 3 days in a sarcophagus and awoke, took himself into a deep meditation and stayed there for 3 days like the Tibetan monks do. And there is a belief that he did not die on the cross, and so that's open to everybody's interpretation. You have some people who believe it, you have some people who don't. And so, but this is where all my research over the past 15 years have taken me, to look at all these things. And then when we're there, I'll tell you what my belief is about it. And then it's up to everybody and how I reached it. But
yeah.
it will
and
be
then it's up to everyone to decide. Barbara,
up to everybody to decide what they
right for them, what they believe.
Mm-hmm. And they'll be able to see all of this and ask questions about it and everything else, and then they can make up their own mind about it, you know. We will go, of course, we'll go to Mansagor, which again was the Cathar Seminary, and it was the seminary of the Church of Love, and it was, you know, the last place of the Cathar resistance in 1243, and it is said that from here, because they asked for time to prepare themselves, and during the time of their preparation to walk out, two young men and two young girls and the Book of Love were somehow mystically taken down the side of the mountain, and they had two adults, two men with them. And how they got them down is a mystery.
Yeah, and, just don't know.
Nobody knows. But the last place it is said that the Book of Love was indeed that it went from there to Montserrat. And so that the last place the Book of Love was is in Montserrat. And as you know, that's just outside of Barcelona. There's, again, in Montserrat, there is an amazing Black Madonna. And so if anybody is ever in Barcelona, they need to go visit the monastery at Montserrat. It's about a half an hour taxi ride, but it is magnificent. And so
Barcelona is an amazing city.
Yeah. And so, you know, and then we have all of that. And so after all of that, you know, the people who want to leave us at that stage, because that will be day 8, and they will be on the dinner of, or on the night of day 7, they will depart and overnight in their hotel in Toulouse so that they can depart the following day. And then we will go on to Lourdes. And so when we go on to Lourdes and we're in Lourdes and we have our own experience with Mother Mary, in all the years I've been going to Lourdes, I have yet to have a person who hasn't had an experience at Lourdes. I've had people who say, I don't want to be here. I have no desire to go to Lourdes. The only reason I'm here is because it's on the itinerary. And they're the people that don't go to any bed. Or they're the people that go to bed at 1 o'clock in the morning. They're back down at the grotto at 4 o'clock in the morning. I've had several of those where they've had all these different experiences with Mary Magdalene. And they just can't understand. They have all these different healings. I teach people how to experience the waters. And people in the morning, you know, if you want to get yourself fully immersed in the water, you can come down at 7 o'clock in the morning and you go in there and they totally immerse you in the water. And that is an amazing experience within itself. I've not ever had it done myself, but I'm thinking that I will do it this year. But I concentrate in showing people how to feel the water in the grotto, because it's roped off, and there's a glass plate over the water, but you can actually feel it. The water through the palms, the chakras, the palm chakras of your hands. If you do what, as I will show you how to do it, and people have had profound healings and profound experiences. There, some people have to go through a couple of times before they get it. I myself have had a hernia cured at Lourdes, and it was like this little buzzing going on, like, you know, this vibration going on. And by the time I got out of the grotto, I had no more hernia. And then we leave after Lourdes. We go back to Toulouse, and we visit the Basilica of St. Cernan. And there's a Black Madonna at another basilica, depending on the time. We go there as well. Then we overnight there. And on the morning of the 17th, everybody flies out. So that is our mystical experience in France, starting on in June the
7th.
June the 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
the healing waters alone, Finbar, I think. I mean, obviously the sacred sites and buildings and churches, the grottos, but I think the healing water itself that just that's encountered in addition to Lourdes is just
we'll be hitting
phenomenal.
Many.
You know, I don't.
Yeah. And you know, when we're at Lamu and the healing waters there, is all to do with the eyes. To keep, you know, sort of in the ancient time, it was known as a place to go if you had an eye problem. You went to the healing waters at Lamu. And there is an amazing statue of the goddess out in front of the church. And the doors on this church are over 1,000 years old. The original doors. A lot of the churches we'll see in that, we'll be looking at their original doors. And some of the symbology and everything that you see in the churches, you're wondering, how did they put that in there? Because you'll see stuff of Solomon's seals, all sorts of different things in the churches. And they're there for a very holy purpose, you know. And they're an awakening for people. And you'll have different things happen with the Black Madonnas. And the Black Madonnas are
very powerful.
Yeah.
Very
so
powerful.
So anybody got any questions for Anne or myself?
No, it's wonderful to hear the journey. I got to travel.
Yes, right?
That was special, you know, just because you two have been there, right? Both of you, Anne, you've been there also?
I have not been to all the sites.
Oh, okay, because...
Not
like
all of
the
them.
Energy.
I know a lot about them, but So I'm very excited myself to experience some of them for the first time.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, to know about them and to read and to have Finbar that alone is just so energizing, right? That alone is just so, wow.
Yeah. Well, I have been on this tour I've done between there because I've done a lot of, sometimes I do the St. Sarah Festival at St. Maurice de la Mer, and that happens on the 24th and 25th of May. I've done that several times, and I've possibly done this tour at least 20 times. And every time I go, it's a new experience. Because you're at a different place. Everybody is...
Right. Everybody's a different place. And also the energy of the group in bar is very different.
Yeah.
Depending on the people that are there. It's just like you said, even with the activities and the initiation and with the healing work that I do, it depends on the people and the experience and what is going to be right for those people, for our group at that time, both individually and as a collective.
Yeah, and so, you know, with each of us as well, we're, like for me, I'm at a different place every time I go there because my vibration has shifted and the matrix of the site has changed. So the experience that I'm going to have, it doesn't matter whether it's France or Ireland or Guatemala or where it is, every time I go back, I have a different experience because I'm at a different level of vibration and the site is bringing me more knowledge and more understanding. And so it's like climbing Jacob's ladder. You know, you're climbing the steps and you take a little pause. That's why, you know, you have this great big staircase on Jacob's ladder and it goes around a little bit and then it goes back up again. And so I think we have these little pauses as we move along in life, you know.
We sure do. And transitions our vibrations change all the time. And especially with different experiences, like, I imagine, too, like if you would assess your vibration before the trip and when you came back,
it would be
very, very different.
Yep.
That's miraculous, you know, in and of itself.
Yep. And so
that it would change, definitely. But I just think that's so fascinating how the energy of the place mixes in with the energy of the group. And people's own individual experiences and their own, but what a wonderful experience and place for healing.
Yeah,
for
because
everyone.
you have the yeah, you have the matrix of the sight, you have the energy of the now, and you have your own energy, all mixed together in this beautiful. You know, we're weaving as we go on these tours, and the group comes together, and we weave a tapestry. We're weaving a tapestry, and this tapestry.
And every person's energy is a part of that.
That's it. Yeah, and it's a group consciousness. Yeah.
Yeah. Which we will experience when we're all together, and not until then.
Yeah. Well, it actually starts to work before we leave.
Well, it actually starts before we leave, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Immediately you sign up, it starts.
Right.
Because you're moving, you're changing your vibration. You know, sometimes it's the packing of the suitcase. You know. And the first time I was going to do a far walk, and this Cherokee grandmother, and she was showing people how to walk the fire when the fire was all lit, and which we were in this hall, and she laid out sheets, and which would exactly the length of the fire and the width of the fire, and she had it there, and she was looking for four volunteers, and she only had three, and then she said, Finbar, you're coming up here. And so anyway, I went up, and she had us walking around this, I'm thinking this woman's crazy if she thinks that walking a sheet is going to bear any resemblance to walking the fire. So
anyway,
she had us walking around and walking around, and you kind of got into a meditative state. And she said, you will know when you're ready to walk the fire, because you had to walk at a certain pace. You had to pick a pace. If you walked too fast or too slow, you got burned. So you had to find the perfect pace. And so when I walked around and I walked down the sheet, and I had the most absolutely amazing experience. And so she thanked everybody, and she said, you know, now we'll go out to the fire, and sort of we'll light the fire, and everybody will see what's going to happen, and we will have this totally sacred ceremony. And I was just walking away, and she said, Finbar, back here. I need to speak with you. And she said to me, so you had your experience? I said, yes, I did. And she said, now it doesn't matter whether you walk the fire or not. You've already done it.
Ah.
And you know,
you've already
And I've walked the fire four times, and none was as powerful as that one, me walking down the sheet in the hall.
Well,
it was far bigger experience than going out and actually walking the fire. But the only difference about walking the fire was, after you walk the fire, about 10 days later, all the skin peels off your feet, and you have feet like a brand newborn baby. Your skin is so silky and soft and everything. It is just magical how you, and you'd sit there and you just rub your feet because it feels so great.
Oh, that's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild, but you didn't feel anything. I mean, it truly felt like, what did it feel like when you were walking through it?
When I'm walking through the fire, it didn't feel
anything.
You know, sort of it was there. It was a lovely experience. And you sort of you were kind of in this meditative state. But it wasn't as powerful of an experience as I had in the hall, walking the sheet.
Oh.
Because I had my whole experience, and that's why she said to me, it doesn't matter if you walk the fire or not, you've already had the blessing, the experience. And so anyway, that was...
But we don't do this in France, right, Finbar?
No, we don't. We don't walk a fire.
Oh,
we have no fire.
Okay, just want to clarify that. Just want to get that straight right now.
No. But I could create a fire for you.
Oh, no. I shouldn't have said a thing. I'm sorry. The whole group will hate me. Don't you two tell.
No. We won't do that. Yeah. So, anyway, any other questions or anything?
No, thank you so much. I need to go. This is Joanna. Thank you so much. I was really appreciated listening, and I will stay in touch probably.
Okay, wonderful.
All right, thank you, Joanne.
All right, bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Finbar, this is Elizabeth.
Yes, Elizabeth.
Yes, sir.
After the Scotland trip, well, during the Scotland trip, it was recommended to us some books to read, which one was the Magdalene Manuscript by Tom Kenyon, and we got the Hathor material by him and another book. But I was wondering if there was something you might recommend that we can read that would help us to appreciate more what we're going to be seeing on the level we're going to be seeing it.
Yeah. Well, I would tell you an amazing book for you to read, believe it or not, is a book, and it's not so much about Mary Magdalene as it is about, it's called Anna, Grandmother of Jesus.
Okay.
And it
I've heard of that book.
Yeah, it's by a woman called Claire Hartsong. And it's very mystical and very lovely.
Okay.
And if you want to read something that is fictional, it has some really good material in it. It also has some fluff in it, which you don't, which you know the fluff. And it is a book by Kathleen. There's a couple of books. She wrote a trilogy of books. And one is called The Expected One. And one is called The Book of Love. Now, these are both excellent books. And there's some stuff in it that you really don't want, you know, sort of... what shall I call it? Kind of garbage.
Because they're fictional books, in Burbank.
It's a fictional book, but what it does is it opens up a whole bunch of stuff for people. And
it starts you thinking in the right,
mm-hmm. That's it, yeah. And so there's that, and there is, there's a book that I could send you. I could loan it to you,
okay,
Liz, if you wanted it. And it's called The Manuscript, and it's by a guy called Danish, and it Lars Muhl. I don't know how you pronounce his last name, but this is a very wonderful book, and. I could loan it to you.
Okay.
You might be able to get it on Amazon. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I think that you can, Finbar.
And,
I think.
And the last name is M as in Mary, U, H, L?
H, yeah.
Okay.
And have a look. But it's a very... now, I haven't read it all myself. But I have people who have been on my tours who have read it. And who've told me, Dorothy and Atlanta swear by it. You know both of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
There are so many
books now,
Elizabeth, you know. Yeah. That's the thing. Because I think the Finbar, we were talking about this, how the Magdalene consciousness and with the whole divine feminine rising consciousness, that there have been more and more, you know, books written.
Yeah.
So it's a little confusing almost because there are so many right now.
There are so many right now. And if you look at it, this whole journey in France, it's all about illumination.
Mm-hmm.
Because Mary Magdalene, you see, I believe that Mary Magdalene was the soul of the Christ consciousness, that Jesus brought the energy of the Christ consciousness through, but she was the one who grounded it. And if you look at everything, it has to be do with the masculine and the feminine. For anything to be birthed on earth, there has to be a man and a woman. Or, you know, sort of the feminine has to be involved. And so here you have Mother Mary and you have Mary Magdalene, who I believe that both of them were earthly incarnations of Sophia, aspects of Sophia, and that they had a specific function to do. And Mother Mary was to be Jesus' teacher, and Mary Magdalene was his other half. And if you take the six-pointed star,
mm-hmm.
Well, Mary Magdalene was the top part of the triangle and Jesus was the bottom part of the triangle.
Okay.
And so all of these come together. There is a whole bunch of ancient geometry, sacred geometry and everything else out there that gives you a whole understanding of how the two of them came together. I have, in for years, believed that Mary Magdalene is the soul of the Christ consciousness, and that it could not have been birthed like it was, and which is now the second coming. And so this is why all of this energy, and here we are in the Aquarian age. We are going through the various doorways, and I believe in 2025 we will be totally into the golden age. And we're going through these different doorways. If you look at where we are now and where we were in August 1987 at Harmonic Convergence, and where the consciousness of people is now today.
Right.
Amazing differences.
It's astonishing, yeah.
Yeah. And even if you look at where people were in 2012, when we went into the awakened consciousness, the fifth dimension, and we've gone through the three doorways so far, and Elizabeth, you were at the opening of the third doorway, and now we're going to the fourth doorway, which will be a spring or a summer solstice this year. So we will have another major shift. So we are going deeply into the Church of Illumination, and the Church of Illumination comes from within ourselves. And this is why, and you know, this is, and I only really realize this today, because the Church of Illumination, its original place was Tara in Ireland. And so I'm going, no wonder I have to go back to Ireland.
That's why. So that all adds up.
Yeah, and do the fourth doorway this year at Tara. So I'll be going to, so that's why I'm going to go to Tara and do the fourth doorway there. So.
Okay. It's a very big shift, even at the time that we're in France, in Bar 2.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a very pivotal time there, too.
Yeah. And so we have all of these energies and all of these different things taking place. So that is the beauty of what's happening with us, you know. And
there's a lot happening.
Oh, yeah. There's a tremendous amount happening, yeah. And yeah. So, you know, we're just opening ourselves up to all of these experiences. And, you know, if you look at each one of them, they are taking us to, you know, it's like if you remember Elizabeth at the well in on Iona.
Yes, yes.
And all the different experiences that people had at that well.
Yes.
As we did our initiations there. So, you know, a person's vibration is changed and their whole outlook,
yes,
and their consciousness of the now is changed by things like that. And they're not ever able to go back to where they were before.
Mm-hmm.
And so they keep moving forward.
Right. You can't go back after you've been through that.
Yeah, and this is the whole thing about self-realization. And this is why this year is all about awakening to our own divinity, whereas last year we were, you know, awakening to the soul's journey and healing up and closing out all the things that we needed to deal with. And this year we are into our own divinity, and it's very interesting because numerologically this is an 8 year. This is the year of manifestation. This is the year when everything opens up for us individually in our own consciousness. And as well, if it's an 8, and if you go to the 8-pointed star, the 7-pointed or the 8-pointed star is the star of the Divine Mother.
Mm.
And so,
yeah.
You know, if you go to the 8.
And we're in an 8 year.
And we're in an 8 year. So I think this is the year of the Divine Mother.
Okay.
And so,
these
are all my own understandings and awarenesses. And so I go with each of these.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Okay.
So that's where it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll be in touch. I will find the Lars Mule book and go from there, too.
Okay.
Okay. Was nice talking to you, Elizabeth.
And if you can't find it, Elizabeth, just let me know, and I'll send you this one.
Okay.
Or I'll get Atlanta to loan you hers. I'll get somebody to loan if I haven't finished reading it by that time.
Okay, sounds great.
But I would get the Anna Grandmother of Jesus book. That is an amazing book.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Nice to talk with all
God bless.
Both of you.
Yes, yes, thank you. Thank you, Elizabeth.
All right, good night.
Good night, good night.
Night. Are you there?
I am, Vinmar. Hello?